Beautiful Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Purple Daily, happy Sunday to you. Vikings preseason football is going on today. That's right, we got some football to talk about actually on this YouTube channel. Or I should say coming up in the week, it's going to be awesome. So at least the Vikings do have a preseason game. Of course, they will be without quarterback Kirk Cousins, who did test positive for COVID. Not here to break down the preseason preview necessarily, but I am here to break down Vikings Vet Line, of course, which you can find every Sunday on this YouTube channel or on your Purple Daily podcast feed. For those of you who are not aware of what Vikings Vet Line is, it is a show dedicated to you, the Minnesota Vikings fans. During the Minnesota Vikings season, Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, and myself, we like to welcome on guests to talk about the game right after the game ends. Literally, within a minute after that game ends, we fire up Vikings Vent Line right here on this YouTube channel. We invite Vikings fans on with us. And then during the offseason, I still like to talk to Vikings fans from all across the country, all across the globe for that matter, to get their thoughts on the purple and what's coming up for the Vikings in the offseasons, during training camp, during the preseason. There's always plenty to talk about with a lot of Vikings fans. I'm excited to talk to Donovan and AJ here in just a little bit. If this is the first time you're discovering this channel, hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota Vikings entertainment. We are Purple Daily. We're a Minnesota Vikings show who wants to see the Vikings win a Super Bowl before we die. We produce content 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We are on Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com. The ScoreNorth app is a central hub for everything we do. And if you'd like to get in on a future episode of Vikings Vent Line, shoot me an email. It's VikingsVentLine@gmail.com for the YouTube audience. It's scrolling across the bottom of your screen right now. Very simple. VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. We got about less than a month before the regular season opens against the Green Bay Packers in week one from US Bank Stadium. So we are getting closer and closer to regular season Vent Line. I can't wait to talk to a bunch of new Vikings fans, maybe some more pissed off than others, but doesn't matter. Always excited to talk to some Vikings fans, and I'm looking forward to doing it on this episode today with Donovan and AJ. By the way, this episode sponsored by my friends at TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. The football season's coming up, so go get yourself a TCL television. I hung up a 50-incher in my bedroom just a few weeks ago because I wanted a new television to watch football on Sundays, maybe on Mondays, and also on Thursdays. So get yourself a TCL television. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. All right, let's get my guys in here. Let's get Donovan in here, who's hanging out with us from LA. We got AJ in the house as well. He's got the Kirk for MVP sign for the video audience. How long have you been hanging that one up there, AJ?
I just did it for today. Usually that's, I teach, so when we're online, I always had something up there for the students.
Kind of, it reminds me of Woody Page on Around the Horn. I don't know if you ever watched
Yeah, that's exactly
Horn.
What I would do with them.
Yeah, you got your little Woody Page signage on. I love that. AJ, where do you reside, and where are you calling from?
I live in Pittsburgh, PA.
Okay.
So surrounded by Steeler fans.
Nice. How did you become a Vikings fan?
Back in 2009, I grew up. My family likes different teams. My dad's a Broncos fan. My grandpa's a Jacksonville fan. And my grandma yelling at the TV for Brett because she was a Packers fan.
Okay.
And then 2009 is when I decided me and my brother to pick a team. He liked Adrian Peterson. And I just remembered my grandma yelling at Brett. So I was like, all right, we'll be a Vikings fan. And 2009 since.
Look at that. I love it. Donovan, you're calling from LA. You said, what's your origin story of how you became a Vikings fan?
Oh man. Back in the day, the year was 1989. Little 8-year-old Donovan was watching the Vikings game with his dad on the couch. He was amped up for this game. And he told me that it was week 6 and we're up against our bitter rivals, the Green Bay Packers. And we had just traded for one of the best players in the NFL, Herschel Walker. And so he was amped to watch this game. And one of the first plays from scrimmage, he basically busted loose, got about 20 yards downfield, shoe came flying off, still rumbled down 20 more yards. And I mean, my fire was lit. That was it. So been a fan ever since. All the heartbreak, 98, 2004, you all know the drill.
Donovan,
but it's
you might,
still there, you know.
You might be one of the rare fans that have come on this show and have credited to a degree Herschel Walker for being to introducing you as being a Vikings fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we all know how that trade turned out. So it was pretty, pretty standard, par for the course for Vikings fans. Yeah,
it's very much part of the Vikings lineage. Everyone has a horror story. Everyone has something that made them a fan that immediately made them kind of regret what they're getting themselves into pretty quickly on. So I feel both your guys' pain here. Boys, let's start with this here on Vikings Vent Line. So on the top of the show, I obviously mentioned, I'm guessing you guys saw it too, that Kirk Cousins has tested positive for COVID. So he's out for 5 days. And to be honest, regardless, I don't think he was going to play on the Sunday's opener against the Raiders. So I don't think it would have mattered if he had COVID or not. He probably wasn't going to play. Kevin O'Connell doesn't want to play his starters to a degree too much. So Kirk Cousins, I don't think would have played. But does this kind of change your opinion on the Vikings' pursuit of a backup? Obviously, they lost Kirk last year in week 16, 17, was it, to the Green Bay Packers, and Sean Mannion had to start. And now the Vikings still have the same backups. It's Sean Mannion, Kellen Mond as co-defensive backup quarterbacks to Kirk Cousins. AJ, I'll start with you. Do you think the Vikings should prioritize maybe finding a backup here before the regular season opens?
So my thing is, let's see what Mond can do in these next preseason games. I still feel like we have a lot of holes to fill depth-wise on the defense. We're not really sure what we're going to get if one of our veteran guys go down. I mean, Peterson, Kendricks, Smith, they all haven't played a whole season, especially Hunter. So, if one of those guys goes down, I don't know what we're going to do to fill that hole. So I think we should prioritize maybe cornerback. Kevin King's out there. I saw Trey Flowers is still out there. And then there's the big news about Sue. We're trying to pursue him to fill out that middle. So maybe prioritize that and then worry about quarterback.
You know, you bring up kind of a good point that, you know, it's a backup quarterback and there's still like immediate needs that are needed to fill on this Vikings team, cornerback being potentially one of them, maybe another established defensive lineman. I mean, Garrett Bradbury has had a up and down camp so far, and I don't think he's solidified as being the starting center. So there's positions of need on this team. It's more of, you know, I made the analogy, I think, with Judd earlier this week on Purple Daily and Mackey and Judd, that it's just like paying for premium insurance. Like how high of insurance do you want to have? What's your policy that you want in the event you lose your starting quarterback? Don, what do you think, man? Do you think the Vikings should be prioritizing looking for a backup here? How do you kind of see this shaking out?
You know, I don't think so. Not at all. I think the number one priority right now is to fix the center position and find a starting center who can pass protect and be able to keep Kirk Cousins on his feet and safe. I think that's the priority right now. And, you know, if it was like an alternate universe where Anthony Barr didn't run over and Aaron Rodgers and put all these rules in place, then maybe I'd say yes. But, you know, there's the NFL's, you know, for better or worse, they have done what they wanted to do and really have protected starting QBs. They don't want them out for, you know, 4 or 6 games, whole season. So, you know, I think he's, the risk is pretty low with Kirk, especially with those rules. You know, they're really beneficial to the immobile pocket passers like Kirk Cousins. You know, once you get out of that pocket, then those rules kind of go away and it's a bit more of a free for all if you're scrambling or whatever. But you're fairly safe nowadays in the pocket with those rules in place. And Kirk Cousins too. I mean, look, I have little to no confidence in Kirk Cousins except when it comes to staying healthy. You know, he's Kirky, he looks out for number one, you know, he's always looking out for number one. So I think his risk aversion also extends to his physical well-being on the field, you know, not just his stats and everything. So I think he does actually is pretty good at taking sacks. He's gotten better at getting the ball out earlier and avoiding those instances where he could, you know, get injured and take a sack. So, you know, I think that's low on the priority. I mean, don't get me wrong, Mond and Mannion, they're not looking great at all, but I mean, there's such a large gap of quality between starting QBs and backup QBs. If Kirk Cousins goes down for any length of time, you know, I don't think there's much difference out there as far as backup QBs that could really do anything for us. I think you're pretty much ride or die with Cousins at this point.
Yeah, it kind of feels like if they were going to make a significant move for a backup quarterback, it probably should have happened obviously significantly earlier in the offseason, or you take a stab at someone, you know, earlier in the draft. They didn't want to do that. You know, AJ brought up the fact that you should give Kellen Mond a shot here. And I think in this preseason game that we're going to see here on Sunday, he might be able to show him something that he hasn't been able to show before. I do think that coaches kind of use more of practice and training camp more as their solidifying stature of the, is this guy going to work here, than they do with preseason performances. We've seen Kyle Sloter come into preseason games and dominate, but necessarily didn't look the same in practice. But
he's available.
He's up there. If you want to go get him, you can get Sloter for the second time in a row here. But I kind of agree with AJ. Like, let's maybe give Kellen Mond a shot here. But I do think in this game itself, like, I think it's going to probably tell an awful lot once Sunday's first preseason game against the Raiders is over, is if they do indeed want to go get a legitimate backup quarterback. And they'll probably have to trade for someone that's already on another roster. And then that opens up Pandora's box of, well, what are you going to give up, right? Like, they've given up fifth round picks for Kerry Vedvik, a kicker that lasted a month. They've given up a fourth round pick for Chris Herndon, who caught one touchdown for them. So as that demand goes up, and probably as other teams have probably even seen it with the news coming out on Friday that Kirk tested positive for COVID, that other teams are probably going to be asking more than another team who is, you know, looking for a backup quarterback as well. So I agree. I would rather, if they were going to make an impact move between now and the regular season, I'm kind of with Donovan. Let's address the center. Or AJ brought up, you know, bringing in another defensive lineman or cornerback. Like, I think that would make the more of an immediate impact. It's just, if Kirk, who has been Iron Man, to your point, Donovan, if you have questions about who he is as a quarterback, one thing you can't question is his durability. The dude's taken a lot of licks and he's always stayed on the field. So kudos to him. We obviously, if they lost Kirk Cousins, that this season goes immediately down the toilet. So I'm hoping that he stays healthy and the Vikings aren't going to have to rely on their backup quarterback going forward in 2022. There are preseason games, though, that start on Sunday. And now that there's been like 2 to 3 weeks of practices, there's only now 3 preseason games. I'm curious on your guys' expectations of who has the most to prove here in the preseason games in terms of players, coaches, and whatnot. AJ, I'll go back to you. Is there a certain player that you've noticed in training camp that you want to see now start to show up even more as training camp and the preseason progresses?
I mean, the obvious answer is going to be Mond for that. But I'm kind of curious to see how the offensive line is going to work out. They have Reed running center now. And then the rookie Ingram is getting first team reps. So I think that's going to be interesting. But also something we haven't seen in years is we're running a 3-4 defense now. And just in general, how that's going to be with our rotation guys, you know, where's Watts going to fit in? And we have Twyman coming back from his unfortunate accident. And he was really hyped up when we drafted him. And he's a pit guy too. So, and then also just kind of curious about what are they going to do with Smith-Marset as a wide receiver 4 competing against Naylor? Because we have one guy that last year's GM drafted as opposed to this year's GM drafting Naylor and seeing how they're going to compete for that wide receiver 4 spot.
You know, you bring up Jalen Twyman as someone, yeah, who he was involved in a shooting a few years ago. It wiped up out of his 2021 season, and he hasn't played like an actual football game, I think, since 2019 when he was at Pitt. But he's in the best shape of his life. He is having a strong camp, and he might be the sleeper guy that we're talking about that could make immediate impact on the defensive line that we aren't really thinking of. In your wide receiver conversation, you know, I think it's obviously established that it's Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne, and then who kind of shakes out the last few wide receiver spots. How many wide receivers do they end up even keeping on the roster? You know, and Jalen Naylor, who was awesome at Michigan State, does he make the 53? Is he a practice squad kind of guy? Amir Smith-Marset probably has the leg up to get that, you know, quote unquote fourth wide receiver spot because he did get in some games last year. He did catch a couple touchdowns in the regular season finale. I'm curious too, kind of what players step up to get those last few roster spots. And then probably, you know, the main appetizer, main course here, I should say, is Ed Ingram, you know, the rookie guard who now is potentially going to be starting week 1 on your right side if he beats out Chris Reed. Those are all your kind of position battles to see here. And that'd be awesome if they actually get a legitimate rookie who's ready to step in on day 1 and make immediate impact. That'll be great for the offensive line. Vikings fans have been begging for stability on the interior of that offensive line for basically a decade. So I think those are all great things to watch. Donovan, how about you, man? What are you looking forward to or who are you looking at to watch this preseason?
Well, I mean, the two that have the most to prove in these preseason games are Kellen Mond and Bradbury. I mean, they're 1A and 1B at this point. They're going to be under a microscope these next few games by fans and the coaches, you know, because that's really going to determine not only their position on the team, but actually their spot on the team. Will they even be with the team? If they stink it up on the field, then, you know, I can see the team going towards trading them and getting someone who can do it, because, you know, between the backups, there's no one that can actually just step in instead of them that could be any better. So I think they'd want to limit the amount that they have to mortgage their future and actually trade those players for someone who can actually come in and do the job. So I think they're actually going to be fighting for their spots on the team at this point.
For sure. Domino, stick with you for just a second. Louis Cine was their first round pick, and you know, right now on the quote unquote unofficial depth chart, he kind of slides on the second team. But him and Andrew Booth were the first two picks made by the Vikings draft class. And I also kind of feel like those two guys are going to get a lot of run here in the preseason games. What were your thoughts on those picks? And do you feel like they will eventually kind of be day one starters throughout the course of the 2022 season?
Yeah, you know, I feel like Louis Cine was the plan for him was to be an eventual, in my opinion, Harrison Smith replacement. You know, they may want to move on from Harrison Smith in a year or two with that contract. It's huge, you know, for an aging safety like that. So I think the general plan was to, you know, keep Bynum where he's going on his path. And then Louis Cine kind of steps in pretty quickly after getting, you know, moving on from Harrison. But, you know, he has shown such skill and everything in that position that they're trying to find a way to work all three of them in. So I think they'll find a way on the defense. I think there's flexibility enough in their defense that they can get the three of them on the field and work him in as much as they can this year. Same with Booth. I think he's also shown a lot more promise than they and skill than they expected. So I think they're going to just find their ways to work them in a bit sooner. But it ultimately comes down to if he can back up his talk. He's been very, very confident in the preseason, in the drills and everything. So it's going to be neat to see him out on the field in the preseason games and see if that can translate to the actual games too. I'm excited to see that.
AJ, you were talking about seeing what this defense can look like under Ed Donatell too in the beginning of this show. What are your kind of expectations for Louis Cine and Andrew Booth?
Well, I mean, hopefully they can stop the two wide receivers who let our rivals draft. I think that's what it's really going to come down to is, are those guys going to dominate us for years to come, or are we going to have some solid players for a few years in coverage? Because that's something we've been lacking for a while now. And I think Booth is kind of like similar to what you said about Cine being the replacement for Smith. I think Booth might be the replacement for Peterson. So we may not see them as soon as we hoped, but if they can help us this year, I think it'll be great.
Yeah, I have a high expectations for both those guys. I mean, the cornerback room for the Vikings was pretty thin, honestly, still right now, but it was thin going into the offseason, and they got Andrew Booth, who had first-round grades but fell because of an injury history, and Louis Cine, who was just a beast at Georgia, that heat-seeking missile that a lot of people kind of called him, and Diamond brought up the good point that he kind of seems like a Harrison Smith clone and guy that can kind of take his steps if they ever were to move on from Harrison Smith. And I'm just curious, too, how he kind of fits into the defense if they do use all three of those safeties and Harrison Smith, Cam Bynum, and Louis Cine on the field together. You know, they can kind of get really creative with those exotic looks that Ed Donatell is going to bring in here. And as much as during the heyday, Mike Zimmer's defense was damn good from, you know, 2015 through 2018, you know, this is going to look a lot different. And I'm curious just to see scheme-wise how it looks, because even a novice football guy like me, myself, when it comes to looking at those defensive schemes, you'll start to notice how complicated it gets and how much of an impact they can make. And then when Neil Hunter's and Za'Darius Smith are obviously healthy players, I mean, they're going to be getting after quarterback like crazy. So I'm just excited to see how that entire defense ends up shaking out. Fellas, I am curious on your expectations for the Vikings this season in 2022. I like to ask everyone that comes on Ventline this topic. Well, what are your expectations? What are your realistic expectations for Kevin O'Connell in his first season as Vikings head coach? AJ, I'll start with you.
As you can tell from the sign back here, Kirk MVP, I'm always an optimistic Vikings fan, one of the few. I just go into the season really expecting them to compete at home and try to win some games away. And we're lucky this year that we have 9 home games. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, we somehow finish 7-2 at home and sneak away some 4 road game wins, I could see us really competing for the North title and getting 11-plus wins. And I really think KOC is going to unlock Kirk this year. You know, he hasn't had a coach that really was on his side telling him, hey, you guys talked about it when he's 10 times out of 10, I won't throw that read. But KOC is telling him, I want you to throw that. You know, really forcing him to be a little bit riskier. I think it's going to unlock Kirk this year.
And have you always been high on Kirk Cousins, AJ? And is this kind of the last thing that gets him up more? Like, how have you kind of viewed Kirk Cousins' tenure as the Vikings starting quarterback?
I was really excited when we signed him. And I've always been his supporter. But then Zim I kind of give him the scapegoat of Zim. But this is it for him this year. I think if he doesn't perform well, then I think it might be time to move on.
Yeah. I liked kind of to your math game equation there for how the Vikings can get to being 11-win team, right? Because they do have the extra home game. They have one less true road game, right? The game's in London. I know it's still a ways out to go to a game, but it's not going to the Superdome. I'd much rather play the Saints in London than in the Superdome for sure, if that means I have to travel further. And so it becomes kind of an easy math game. If they can get 7 home wins, can you figure out the 4 other wins on the road? And then all of a sudden you're probably at 11 wins, potentially competing for the NFC North title. So I don't really think we're really talking about that too, that hey, because they had one less road game, it's going to make things a lot easier to their path to being a double digit win team with one less road game to play. So it's a good point to make. Donovan, what are your expectations for the Vikings in 2022?
Well, I mean, when you were in the burn it down camp at the end of last season, you wanted them to just, you know, fire everyone, get rid of everyone and start over. Seeing them run it back this year kind of makes you have very, very high expectations and say, well, I mean, deep playoff run or else it's a complete failure. But, you know, I will give the benefit of the doubt to a brand new coach. I mean, on both sides, you know, defensive, offensive, new schemes. I think the team will kind of struggle a little bit first part of the season. They're still implementing these new systems. And on both sides of the ball, I think that's going to take a little while, especially with O'Connell not playing his starters in the preseason. I think that's going to push out the struggle a little bit further into the season. But I do see them hitting their stride towards midseason and really making a good push. So, I mean, I expect them to win double digits and get into the playoffs. I think that's fair with the amount of talent on this team and everything. I think anything less than that would be a failure, but I give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt for this year. But definitely after this year, if they keep it running the following year, there's a very high expectations in my mind.
Yeah, kind of Super feels Bowl like bust. You don't want to put too much expectations on a rookie head coach. And even though we're optimistic about Kevin O'Connell unlocking Kirk, taking the offense to the next level, just having a fresh face around the organization and in the building should be a breath of fresh air, and everything should be sunshine and rainbows. But that feeling's going to go away, I think, probably pretty quick after that first month of the season, if they face some adversity at any point. So, you know, expectations for me is if this offense can indeed be top 5, a top 10 offense. And obviously, you know, I would love them to be a playoff team. I think they have all the tools and resources and horses to be in the playoff field. But how good they can be considered in the NFC, I guess that kind of remains to be seen. I will say, you know, the NFC, there isn't really like a stronghold. I know Tom Brady and the Bucs should be good again, but regression should happen there. The Packers lost Devontae Adams and are now kind of transitioning to being a more defensive prowess team. That might work out for them, but still remains to be seen if that'll work. So the NFC doesn't really have a like stranglehold on it. And the Vikings could be one of those teams that finally bolts themselves up to being contenders in the NFC. Boys, before I wrap up here on Vikings Bentland, I'd like to give a last shout out, a last take, anyone you'd love to shout out or any last take you want to give. Donovan, I'll start with you. Is there anyone you'd like to shout out or one last thing you want to get off your chest here?
Yeah, for sure. You know, a couple of people, my dad, obviously, for lighting the purple fire. And, you know, being a Vikings fan, I moved out here to LA about 8 years ago, but you know, still having the, you know, being a Vikings fan has kept that connection to my home state and my family. So that's been really cool. My wife, Excel, she's from South Africa. So she's got some rugby fanatics in her family, but I don't think even then she was ready for her mild mannered kind of calm husband to just go Jekyll and Hyde when the football games turn on. So thanks to her for sticking around during the football season. And then my buddy, Scott Lenock, he turned me on to you guys, to Purple Daily, about a year ago. And especially with that last year, you know, finding you guys and finding a, you know, finding media that gives a realistic spin on things and not just relentless positivity was very therapeutic. So I appreciate that.
Of course, appreciate that. I love all the wives that get shouted out on Vikings Ventland that I have to suffer with their significant others in being a Vikings fan, so I completely understand. AJ, how about you, man? Anyone you want to shout out or one last take you want to give?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with the wife. You know, yeah. That some days are rough sometimes, but she's a huge Steelers fan, so we set up 2 TVs. Sometimes we're sharing some misery. Big Ben wasn't doing too hot. And then you guys for giving the content, daily content with just one sports team is pretty awesome to find. And my brothers for keeping fandom with me on the Vikings.
of that. Love all that family affair for everyone involved there. That's fantastic. Dom and AJ, thank you guys for coming on Vikings Vent Line. Appreciate you dudes. Come on during the regular season, by all means. Donovan, you got that West Coast time zone. So what, kickoffs at like 10 a.m. for you, 10, your time?
Yeah, it's great. That's great. Roll out of bed, crack us early, and you're golden.
Absolutely. That sounds phenomenal. And then AJ, obviously in the East Coast time, that's all normal for him. But yes, I would love to wake up for football. I think that'd be great. Just literally roll out of bed at 9:45, turn on the TV, maybe even stay in bed, watch, you got a TV in the bedroom, then you're all better. But yeah, I'm excited to watch some purple this year. Fellas, thank you for coming on Vikings Vent Line. Appreciate you guys. For anyone who's listening and watching, hit the subscribe button on our Score North YouTube channel for daily Minnesota Vikings entertainment. We, of course, just want to see a Vikings Super Bowl before we die. This has been Vikings Vent Line on Purple Daily.